You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Lab technicians carried us through the pandemic, diagnosing thousands of COVID cases and working in arduous conditions to do so. Now there's an exodus of professionals from the field, but the need for them hasn't gone away. Today I spoke with an advocate at APEX whose portfolio is lab workers, given the experience of science students over the course of the past 2 years. I started by asking what kinds of things were included in the document of crisis that was delivered to Parliament.
So, yeah, well, obviously, you know, the laboratory workforce has been struggling for some time. You know, we have more people going out of the laboratory workforce than we have coming into it, and that's mainly because it is quite an aged workforce and we don't have enough young people coming into the workforce, be that because of pay levels and the stressfulness nature of the work. I think it's a combination of both. And it's obviously become apparent in the past 2 or 3 years because of COVID. You know, our laboratory workforce has really become the star for in medical in the health sector, and they've been doing such a good job and record amounts of COVID testing, and it's really come apparent to the shortages that we have and the fact that we need to fix these shortages to move forward.
And to go a little bit backwards, what is the pathway of study to becoming a lab technician? What does one kind of invest when they study to get there?
So, yeah, so in medical laboratory workers, there's actually quite varied professions. So we have medical laboratory scientists. So scientists do a 4-year bachelor's degree in medical science, and then they do a 6-month internship to become medical laboratory scientists. Whereas medical laboratory technicians, they have a 1-year degree, well, 1-year diploma, effectively, that they do with the New Zealand Medical Sciences Council, sorry, the Institute of Medical Laboratory Science, and they do a 6-month sort of portfolio workshop where they have to do a number of hours of work to be qualified, to become qualified.
Right. So either way, that's a lot of qualifications and that's a lot of effort invested. In the media, New Zealand Institute of Medical Laboratory Sciences, Terry Taylor has said that lab technicians earn less than nurses. And obviously there's been a lot of attention on nursing pay and working conditions. Could you maybe comment on the work being done to try and change this for lab technicians or lab scientists?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I mean, medical laboratory technicians their rate of pay, they start on about 48k as a fully qualified technician, and they can't even get to 60k before having to undergo quite arduous performance reviews to try and move up their salary. And, you know, the work that they are doing is just astounding at the moment. They're not only doing business as usual work, helping scientists with testing of hospital patients and community patients, but they're also having to do COVID work on top of that. So it's quite a lot of work for quite little pay. Hence the shortages that we currently have. You know, a lot of people are saying it's not worth it and going into less stressful jobs where they can see their families on weekends and evenings and just enjoy their lives a bit more. The same can be said about medical laboratory scientists. Their rates of pay, you know, they start at about 55 and cap out at about 80k. And, you know, qualify, if you compare that to the recent nurses' pay equity details that's been released, it's a gap of about almost, you know, 15k currently.
People are leaving the profession in hordes, but what aspects of diagnosis and the health system are these scientists and lab technicians involved in? To what extent do we actually rely on them?
Huge amounts. You know, if you go to the hospital and, you know, you're sick, you go to the hospital, you know, the doctor takes your bloods, everything like that. It's the laboratory technicians and scientists that test your blood. And about 80% of all hospital diagnoses are reliant on these people doing their job and relaying that back to your doctors and nurses. It's an unseen workforce. You don't see them. They work in their labs they work on, but they're crucial to the health sector.
To kind of talk about the future, lab work involves an understanding of theory, but obviously a lot of practical work. And over the pandemic, to speak specifically about the University of Auckland, students obviously miss out on labs because of lockdowns, which makes sense. But fees for science degrees are higher than fees for arts papers. That's likely due to the amount of equipment needed for labs. There are single-use products that are needed to maintain the integrity of experiments like pipette ends and gloves, etc. So students paid these same fees while not using such equipment, and many have gone through their degree with kind of sporadic access to lab work, with no compensatory opportunities to get their skills up. And this is a skill that you can't just practice in your own time. So would you say that that would contribute to the future of the crisis of lab workers when it's already in a bad state and through kind of no fault of the student's own? Do you think that this is potentially releasing an incompetent workforce?
I wouldn't say an incompetent workforce. I think that, you know, the internship program that laboratory scientists go through is very fulsome. Obviously, it's really adding to the issues that we're seeing in the lab, and that, you know, people are just becoming less and less interested in going to medical laboratory science as a profession. You know, those rumours get out, and, you know, why would you sort of go through a degree where, you know, you can't, you know, have a fulsome access during your student time. But, you know, like I said, the six-month internship program is vital in ensuring that our scientists are competent before they get their annual practicing certificate from the Medical Sciences Council.
What is the industry standard in general for the amount of experience needed to, before you start that internship program, or maybe in commercial labs that don't have that?
So mainly, you know, students that undergo their Bachelor of Medical Science, they'll usually start at a DHB or a private sector lab, you know, anywhere really with that as a graduate, and do the six-month internship. And from there, you know, your colleagues and your medical and your seniors would say you're competent to work solely, and you would get signed off by the Medical Sciences Council. And it's quite crucial actually, because once, you know, there's a lot of FTE, full-time equivalency, for interns in the science, in the medical labs, but you need to make sure that there's also a position, a scientist position, for them to go into once they've done their six-month internship. So APEX has really been pushing towards the government to up the full-time equivalency at each of the labs to make sure that we have jobs available for these students once they complete their internship to come into the lab as a medical laboratory scientist.
Just to go a little bit back, the New Zealand Institute of Medical Laboratory Scientist Terry Taylor also commented on the fact that Māori and Pacifica aren't entering the profession at very high rates at all. Is there anything that you know of being done to kind of remedy that?
Yeah, no, that's a great question as well. It is all about, you know, access to these opportunities, isn't it? And, you know, we have a lot of faith that come Health NZ, come the Māori Health Authority and everything that comes with it, that will have that those Māori and Pacifica students will have more opportunities to enter into, you know, university graduate levels and enter into health as a profession. Currently it's just not really there, and we're really looking forward to working with the Māori Health Authority to change that. It's really important that we work towards filling these gaps with the employers. Obviously Health NZ coming in July, that's a really big opportunity for us to sort of remedy the issues that we're seeing in the lab. You know, the Medical Sciences Council reported a 9% drop in medical laboratory technicians and a 5% drop in medical scientists in the past year. And, you know, we can't grow medical laboratory scientists and technicians on trees, so we really need to work with the institutes, with the employers, to make sure that we have enough people going forward to address all of our health needs.
That was me speaking with Abby Troiwavas, an advocate for lab workers at APEX, about the state of crisis for the profession and the entrance of groups like Māori and Pacifica students into the profession.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.